But Garrett and I will actually be in Michigan. The whole Duke family will be for this men's conference. So we need two men to rise up and win for our church, okay? You can see it. I have the trophy in my office. Actually, should I get it? Paul, can you grab it for me? It's the advanced men's. Yeah. We take this very seriously. So, yeah.
Can you jump
for us again? No. Well, as we're waiting. No, not like that. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Paul.
I volunteer as tribute.
Garrett, come up here, Garrett. This is right here. Actually, can we take a picture and send this to Jacksonville? Yeah, we'll send it to Jacksonville because we can't go. Okay, awesome. Well, so two guys, we need you. Sign up. But no, seriously, it's a wonderful conference. If you're a man and you want to grow in your faith, I was shocked when I went. There are thousands of men from other churches in the state of Florida and Georgia that meet together for 3 days of wonderful fellowship, word, and just good quality time and great food. Oh my gosh, South Point, the church we go to, unbelievable food. They had like briskets and they had a trail mix bar. It was nuts. It was literally nuts, yeah. Literally. All right. So this last week, I've had the best / worst week I've had in a long time. Has anyone ever had that where you're like, this is a great week, but so much is going wrong? So it started off Tuesday morning. I go in for a routine dental cleaning, just to clean, just to take a look, okay? And guys, listen, I had probably 12 cavities. And so I brush, I have the little water picker thing, I floss every day, I have a fluoride thing I do. I have a whole routine, a teeth routine, because my teeth are so bad, and I have to do this. So I've been working really hard. And if you don't know, I think it was like last year I had my first root canal in crown, and that was probably the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. And doctors say it's equivalent to giving birth, so. Mothers, I feel for you. We're all in the same boat. But anyway, thank you, yeah. Thank you for your service. Yeah, I know. So I'm sitting in the chair. The dental assistant is looking. She's like, you did great. Your gums look great. Everything looks awesome. The dentist just has to come in, look over your x-rays, and you'll be good to go. So the dentist comes in, and I'm not joking. I'm sitting there like this. And he's looking around, and the first thing he says, oh, crap. I'm like, what? What is that? And I'm like, if you're a dentist, never say that. Please don't say that. I said, what is that? He said, you have a crack in your molar. I said, come on. You have a crack? He said, you have a crack in your molar. And so two things I hate is dental stuff and unforeseen expenses, like big bills. So I'm thinking like, okay, how much is it going to cost? I just had a root canal. It was the worst pain of my life. Like, I don't want to do any of this. And then, you know, they're trying to take my blood pressure, and I'm like, you know, 200 over 140 or something, because I'm just freaking out. And so my whole week got totally changed, right? Then Thursday night, we had a party, basically, here where we watched Jesus Revolution. So if you haven't seen it, you must go watch it. Unbelievable movie. But halfway through the movie, my crown, my temporary crown, pops off. And I'm literally watching the movie, throbbing pain the entire time. I want to go home. I don't want to be here. I need ibuprofen. I need something. And I don't want to be here. I'm just sitting there like, okay, don't freak out. Don't freak out. People need you to be here. And if you haven't seen the movie, one of the big themes of the movie is salvation and baptism. And so I felt that day the Lord said, fill up the baptism tank and we'll just see what happens. I said, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get all wet. I don't want to bring the tank around and, you know, I get the guys to help me and all that stuff. And I don't want to do this, right? And then I felt this, just do it. Just fill up the tank. So we do it. Okay, so we're watching the movie. My crown is falling off. It's throbbing. It's hurting. And then the movie's over. And I have to get up on stage and just say something. So I get up. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to say anything. So I share my kind of my testimony. We just recap the movie. And I say, if anyone wants to get baptized, please come see me. Expecting nothing, right? So we're all hanging out in here for about 10 minutes. Two girls come up and say, we want to get baptized. I'm like, okay, oh, okay, let's do it. So we all, about 80 students, go outside to do baptisms. And we normally never do baptisms on college night because we want to share it with the church. We believe you get baptized into the local church. But for some reason, it's our first baptism we've done as a campus ministry, and we did it. What happened was 16 people got baptized. Come on. 16. And three people gave their heart to Jesus. Unbelievable. And two girls, it was their first time at college night, and they came and they gave their heart to Jesus and got baptized. And I was thinking, wow, that's awesome. Like, you know what? A little tooth pain, that's okay. So we have a little video we want to show, just some highlights from that night. So please enjoy. So that was such a highlight. Okay, the story does not end there. I get home, we're unloading the car, and Ashley is stepping out of the front door to get something from the car. By her foot, I see a snake slither away. And I'm like, no way. Like, why is this happening? Like, we're getting plagued by snakes. It's like the third snake we've seen in like a month. Anyway, it's just wild. And so I'm like, okay, this is crazy. You know? I'm like, well, you know what? This is the craziest week we've ever had, right? And then, so the next morning, I get my crown put back on, and just crazy week. Let's pray. That's all I got. Crazy week. Lord, I love you. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in this church. Lord, I thank you for just all the beautiful people that got baptized, and Lord, all the students that gave their hearts to you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to use us, that you would speak through me today. Holy Spirit, I pray that we would just learn more about your grace, and that we would walk in your grace, and that we could extend your grace to others. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in our third sermon in our grace series. And I changed the title. It was going to be called Extending Grace, and that's still kind of the topic, but the title is The Staircase of Grace, because I believe there are steps we take on our grace journey. And so the last 2 weeks, Pastor Ron and Pastor Ken did an amazing job speaking about grace. And if you've been to our church for a little bit, you know that Pastor Ron is a strong exhorter. My dad just makes you convicted, Pastor Kenny. You just want to like, am I even saved? Like, God help me. I do nothing for Jesus, you know. And so hopefully today I can bring a little comfort to y'all, a little bit of the softer side. So let's all have a good time tonight. All right, so these were the three definitions that were given to you of grace. So the first one is grace is the unmerited favor and love of God towards humanity. That's a great definition. Number two, grace is the unmerited gift of God that makes us pure and morally strong. Number three, grace is the operational means by which the Holy Spirit accomplishes his work in and through humanity. So we have grace to get saved, where Jesus takes all of your sins. He changes places with you, gives you his righteousness, takes our sin, and we become perfect in his will. Then there's synergistic grace, where God gives you grace to do something very difficult, or grace to live morally strong and pure, grace to overcome sin. Not just to be forgiven of sin, but to overcome sin and do amazing, mighty exploits for Jesus. And grace is really only needed to do hard things, right? I don't need any grace to get in the car, drive to Krispy Kreme right there, and destroy 12 hot glazed donuts, one by one, right? No grace. There's no grace needed. I want to do that, right? But there is grace required to do the hard things that God has put in my life to do. And I'm sure in your life, there are many things that you face and you're like, God, why can't you just take this away? But instead, God says, I have grace for you to do them. St. Augustine said this. He said, for grace is given not because we have done good works, but in order that we may be able to do them. So back to my dental experience. I'm sitting in the chair Tuesday morning. I just got this bad news. And instead of rescheduling me for another day, the dentist says, hey, guess what? I can do this right now. I'm like, okay, great. So I have to, you know, move my schedule around. I'm sitting in the chair. And the first thing that happens before you get, like, you know, a filling or any sort of procedures, what do? They take a big needle out, they open your mouth up, and they put a needle in your human mouth. And it's the worst. And then they wiggle it around. It's the worst. I hate it so bad. And I'm so dramatic, but I'm literally like, okay, pretend like you're getting tortured for Jesus. Like, I'm getting tortured. I'm a martyr. And it's so dramatic because it's not that serious at all. But they go in and they do. And I always have to get extra numbing because for some reason my lower, I can't get numb. So I have to get two shots, right? And I was closing my eyes trying to think about anything except for a piece of metal in my mouth. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, this shot is very much like grace. There's a procedure or something I want to do in your life that you cannot handle without the numbing shot of grace. I'm like, wow, that is really powerful. And so I believe that that's a great way to look at grace, is that God wants to do something in us and through us. And sometimes grace is initially a little bit painful, like a shot, but it's going to numb us and prepare us for what God is supposed to do and trying to do through us. So let's look at the staircase of grace. The staircase of grace has three steps. The first step is we must receive God's grace. Receive God's grace. I'm not saying receive forgiveness. Receive grace. Grace is a lot different than just forgiveness. Forgiveness is part of it, but receiving grace is not just getting all your sins taken away. It's now the grace to know that Jesus loves you and wants a relationship with you every single day. Step number two is you must extend grace to yourself. This is so hard, right? Sometimes we are the most critical of ourselves. We are so critical. Sometimes we can give grace to other people that we do not extend to ourselves, or the other way around. Or we're super nice to ourselves and mean to everybody else. But anyway, for most of my life, I had a really hard time extending grace to myself, right? I would forgive other people. I wouldn't forgive myself, right? If that person messed up, that's fine. They're learning. They're growing. If I messed up, there's something wrong with me. My identity's flawed. I'm not as good as somebody else. And number three is we extend grace to others. Now, the reason I think it's like a staircase is because you must do one step to get to the next step, to get to the next step. So in your life, okay, I've told the college students this before, but this is pretty funny. You know, like when somebody calls you on your phone, right? And depending on the name that you see, elicits the response in your heart? Is he like, oh yeah, let's pick that up, hey? Or is he like, there's no way, I text me, like, don't leave a voicemail, email me, you know what I mean? Send me a telegram, write me a letter, I don't want to talk to you, right? You know what I mean? And so we all have people in our life where we struggle to give them grace, where we say, you know what? This person, I like this person, they can do anything, I love them. But this person, they rub me the wrong way, just the way they dress is wrong. Even when they do something right, it's still wrong, right? I just don't like them. I don't like them, right? And I think if we all did inventory of our soul, we would find that on the staircase of grace with that person, maybe we're being critical of ourselves, so we're being critical of them. And then maybe we haven't really received God's grace, so we can't give grace to ourselves, and we can't give grace to them. So we're going to break this down. So this is our main text today. It's actually not on the overhead, so please use the little blue Bibles in the seatbacks, or use your phone, or if you're awesome, you brought your own Bible. I used to, and then I stopped because I have to carry a child now. But anyway, so it's going to be Matthew 18, 23 through 35. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. And this is the parable of the wicked servant. And normally this parable is shared when you're talking about forgiveness. But I think it really, really fits when you're talking about extending grace to others in the staircase, these three steps of grace. So let's begin in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged. "I will pay you back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So stop here just for a second. So this is God's grace for the servant. Okay? He owed 10,000 bags of gold, which a servant could never make that much money. The whole point of that analogy is that there's no way the servant is ever paying this back, right? And so the servant gets totally forgiven. He gets grace. Not only do I forgive your debt, there's no payment plan. You owe me nothing. Just go. You're good. All right, that's receiving God's grace. 28. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, which is basically nothing. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him. He said the same thing. He said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told the master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Why shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured. Kind of like a dental procedure. Until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Okay, so this is the question. If you're reading this, this should be your big question. If it's not, that's okay, but this is what it should be, okay? Why did the man who got forgiven so much, he got so much grace, why could he not extend just a little bit of grace to somebody else? That should be the question, right? Let's put that in our context. If Jesus really died on the cross for us, forgave us of all of our sins, gave us his righteousness, why can't we give grace to other people? Okay? So, something happened where this servant skipped a step, and when it came to the third step of extending grace, he couldn't do it. So let's break this down. Okay, so number one, receive grace from God. This is the first step. Before you give, you must receive. Not just receive forgiveness, but receive grace. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." And I remember sitting, this was like 6-7 years ago, sitting in my parents' home in Dallas, Texas, and I just finished playing college football at University of Houston. I was visiting them, and I was sitting at the table, and I remember this was the point in my life, and I'm sure some of you have been here, where I had a crazy college past, where I did some stuff I was not proud of. I walked away from the lordship of Jesus, and I'd done some bad things, and now I was trying to earn my way back. I started going to church. I started trying to read the Bible. I started trying to clean up my life, but it really wasn't going very good. I would, you know, do good for a couple days and then mess up, and good for a couple days and mess up. And then I just beat myself over the head because I couldn't do good enough. And I knew in my heart something was missing. And I remember in Dallas, Texas, for the first time, I actually repented to my parents and I confessed all the sins of college. And I remember for the first time, I really cried out to God, and I didn't pray this prayer. I didn't pray, "God, help me not sin." I prayed, "God, if you don't help me, all I can do is sin." And I remember God changed my life, and I remember for the first time, I received the grace of God, and it changed my life. And that's the reason I'm standing here today, is because the grace of God intercepted me, took me over, ran after me and grabbed me, and I received the grace of God. And my life will never be the same. Amen. So let's go back to the servant. I don't know if you guys caught this, but when the master said, "Hey, you owe me 10,000 bags of gold," what did the servant say? The servant said this. This was his first mistake. He said, "I will pay you back. Be patient." Okay, that's like me saying to Jesus, "Hey, I can earn my righteousness. Be patient. Hey, guess what? I have this hidden sin. I'll figure it out. You just be patient." Right? "I can figure out this lust. I can figure out this greed. I can figure it out. Just be patient." Right? This was the problem with the servant. He did not know that he needed grace. He was still living in a debt mentality. I believe the reason that he wanted money from his other servant is because he was trying to hoard money to pay the master back anyway, even though he was forgiven. How many of y'all, I know I've done this, have, even though Jesus has forgiven me, forgiven you, we still try to live a life like we're paying him back? And when we mess up, we get so mad because, no, I can't mess up because I'm trying to earn my righteousness. I'm trying to earn this grace. That was the servant's first mistake. He didn't really receive grace. He didn't know the gift he'd been given. He was still in a debt in his own mind. He still had to earn back that money. It was, "I will pay you back. Just be patient." I'll tell you this right now. This never works with God. Don't tell God, "Hey, I'll be baptized. Just let me sort my life out. Hey, God, I'll get right with you. Just let me get through college first. Hey, God, I'll do that job. Just let me figure this out first." Right? The grace of God is now. Amen. Is now. Right this second. And a lot of us, we can't fully receive the grace of God until we come face to face with the truth of God. This is why we preach from the Bible. We don't just preach humanistic, motivational, self-help messages. You see, the servant, he didn't need grace unless someone brought up the fact that, hey, you owe 10,000 bags of gold, right? So everyone here sitting, I don't care who you are, how holy you've lived, every single person here has at least one time rebelled in your heart against God and sinned. Amen. Even if it's a thought, an intention, or it's a deed. You know what? I'm a college pastor. I probably have accidentally sinned by 1,000 times today already, right? Because it's so in our nature. So I need the grace of God, not just one time, every day, every single day, right? And so the truth of God came. The truth came. You owe 10,000 bags. That set the table for the servant to receive grace, but the servant didn't. He was still caught up in a debt mentality that I have to earn it, that I have to figure this out. I'll tell you this right now. If you're looking at your life and you're thinking, and hopefully you are, and you're thinking, you know what? Sometimes I don't extend grace to people. Sometimes I don't extend grace to myself. This is the first step. Maybe you've never truly received the fullness of the grace of God in your own life. Number two is we extend grace to ourselves, or you extend grace to yourself. When you receive the grace of God, something you didn't earn, you then have grace for yourself. When you do the things you know you should do, but you don't do. Right? Paul the Apostle was great. He said, there's things that I know I'm supposed to do, but in my flesh, I don't do them. Right? Then he carries on and says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? The solution to Paul not being able to do what he wanted to do was, you know what? In Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. There is only grace. There is only grace. 1 Peter 4:8-10. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are faithful stewards of God's grace. So when we receive the grace of God, we have to give it first to ourselves, and then we give it to others. I remember growing up as a teenager in New Zealand, I hung out with a lot of really critical guys. Like, our humor was very cutting, very critical, and just mean, right? So I was, you know, I was a large lad, and I don't know if you've ever been to New Zealand, but big boys are not like popular over there, right? The clothes were too small, and I was, you know, I never really fit in anything. And I've done this before, but Paul would be the hottest man in New Zealand. Like, that is, like, New Zealand's next top model is Paul Donaldson, you know, Mr. International. And so guys like me, like, big and chunky, like, they're not popular, right? So I remember I was hanging out with these really skinny New Zealand guys, and we would be so critical of people. And I finally realized years later that the reason I was so critical of other people, because I was really criticizing myself. And I really hated myself. I hated being big. I hated being the way God made me. I really did, right? And, you know, if you've ever struggled with weight, you know that this is a cycle where you don't like who you are, and then you eat food to comfort yourself, and then you don't like yourself even more, and then you're always comparing, and nothing fits right, and it's just like this, it's hell, it's awful, right? It's crazy. And I remember that I had to be healed of my own self-image. I had to first receive God's grace. Okay, I'm forgiven, I'm perfect. And then I had to give myself grace when I mess up. Grace when what I'm wearing doesn't fit right. Grace when I don't fit in with other people. Grace when I don't look like the people around me. Grace when I say something really dumb, right? Grace when my intentions were pure, but everyone else didn't see it and laughed at me. I had to give myself grace. Or when I just did the wrong thing. I mean, there are times, and I'm sure we all have this, where we're like sitting down, and we got option A, which is sin, option B, which is do not sin. And we know, go with B, do not sin. We know that, like, done, okay, we'll walk away. All right, here we go, we're back. Okay, A, B, nope. Nope, I'll go for a walk, do some push-ups. Okay, A, B, okay, still here. Nope, I'll call someone, help me, pray for me. Okay, A, B. I'm going to go A, you know? We all done that, right? I know it's wrong. And I know it's going to feel bad afterwards too, but I'm going to go with A, right? We've all been there. And so for me, after receiving God's grace, I had to give myself grace for years. It's like I had to give my flesh time to catch up with my spirit. I had to give myself grace, right? And so anyone can preach, like, try harder, be better, right? But, like, if we're honest, only the grace of God can change us. Amen. Only the grace of God, right? Trying harder works for a little bit, and then it destroys itself, right? Like, even with, like, things like diet and exercise and willpower will only take you so far. An internal change from the grace of God, right, has to be the catalyst for change. But we must give grace to ourselves. And if you don't give grace to yourself, you have nothing to give to somebody else. You really don't. Because if you feel criticized by yourself, you will just naturally criticize others, right? And so it's the craziest thing. When God started working in my heart and I started actually loving myself, loving my strengths and loving my weaknesses, and realizing that God made my weaknesses, God handpicked all my weaknesses for me, for his glory. Amen. And when I realized that, it really helped me become confident in who I am and start loving others. And not worrying about me. I'm good. God loves me. And I love me. So I can love you. Right? Like, I know we have different groups of friends, right? Some groups of friends you walk into, you feel at home. These are my people. Like, I can be here all day. We're great. There's other groups of friends you walk into and you're just like, I have to be like looking a certain way and I gotta wear the right thing. I gotta say the right thing. I gotta make that person laugh because they're really the leader of the group. And you know what I mean? But when you extend grace to yourself, it's crazy. You can walk into any situation and say, God loves me, I love me, and now I don't need your love. I'm actually here to love you. Amen. I want to give grace to you, right? All right, number three. This is extending grace to others. And this is deeper than forgiving, and it's deeper than being nice. Like actual grace. Grace to people that don't deserve it, that haven't earned it. You see, the servant, that man legitimately owed him 100 pieces of silver, right? That's like, okay, this is like the context now. Let's say God's forgiven me, awesome. He's taken out my debt of 10,000 bags of gold. Now I let Nelson borrow my car, and he crashes it. Don't I have the right to be mad? Part of me does, but guess what? If I'm truly extending grace, I would say I didn't earn the grace of God. And even though by right he needs to give me a new car, guess what? There's grace to let a brother in Christ go. Maybe. If God tells me to, right? We'll see. I'm learning. I'm still growing. I'm not, you know? There's grace for me to learn. I love myself. I love Nelson. It's going to be okay. All right. But this is such human nature. We love. Give me grace. Forgive me. Help me. Give me gifts. Help me. But as soon as we have to give someone else grace that they don't deserve, we become justice warriors, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's funny. Back when our family, when we had some student loans, come on, forgive the loans. Forgive student debt. Now that we're debt-free, no, come on, make them pay. You know what I mean? We paid, y'all pay. You know what I'm saying? But it's so human nature. Everything we do, like, I want a free meal at a restaurant, or I want this, but how dare you expect that? You are so entitled and so privileged, right? But this is human nature. Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Do you see where bitterness comes from? When you fall short of the grace of God. When you aren't on the staircase of grace, when you're not taking these steps, that's where bitterness can creep in. There's other reasons, but that's why. Because forgiveness and extending grace is really only when people don't deserve it, right? It's really hard to extend grace when someone has hurt you over and over and over again, right? I'm not saying ever be in an abusive situation, like get help, get out, we can help you, all that good stuff. But what I'm, all that bad stuff. But what I'm saying is that there is grace that God gives us for one another. For y'all who don't know, Ashton and I, we bought a house a year ago. And by the grace of God, we picked the worst time in the Tallahassee housing market, probably in its history, to buy a home, right? It was right after COVID. Prices were just through the roof. And we're like looking at homes, and the homes we were looking at a year before have gone up like $60,000, $70,000 in price. We're like, what is going on? But we felt God say, there's grace here, buy a home. And so we're looking, we can't find anything. And eventually, Rena and Relindo, who used to be in this church, they just moved to West Virginia a year ago. They were selling their home. And so I just like, hey, like, can we check out your home if you guys are selling it? And so anyway, long story short, they ended up selling us their home for $50,000 under their highest offer, wow. Right? And then my grandmother, thank you, Grandma, I love you, she came in and paid for all of our ceilings to be redone, right? Then someone else gave us money to redo a lot of our flooring. It was carpet, and now it's vinyl, right? And the person that did our ceilings, I didn't know this, was a Christian guy, a Christian contractor. And accidentally, one of his teams covered over our attic to get into our attic on the inside, okay? So I call him up. We become friends now. I call him up and say, hey, man, like, your team, they covered up our attic. Can you come fix it? So he comes over for dinner, him and his wife and his kid, and they come over. We're having a great time, and Ashley and the wife are talking, and me and him were in our laundry room cutting a hole in the ceiling, right, trying to get it, and it's a mess, right? There's just stuff everywhere. And anyway, we can't get the board the right way. And so if you go to our laundry room, it looks awful. There's like a big hole, and we just put a board over the top, right? And he told me, he said, Ben, don't worry. I'm going to pay to get somebody to install a ladder and, you know, do it, right? I'm going to pay for it, I promise, right? And me and Ashley were talking the other day, and we're like, yeah, you know what? We should call him. He needs to do that. You know what I mean? It looks awful. Can't get in the attic, you know? And then it just hit us both. Look at all the grace along the way. We got this home when we shouldn't have. We got new ceilings when we shouldn't have. We got new floor when we shouldn't have. Don't you think we can just forget and forgive this debt? He doesn't owe us a new attic ladder. God will provide. You know, but if you know him, call him, tell him to come get it. But anyway, but we've released him. Amen. Okay. So, in closing, you cannot skip steps on the grace staircase. You must go up the steps every single day with almost every single person. Do you know, I think the biggest reason, one of the biggest reasons we do devotionals in the morning, spend time with Jesus, is not to check a box, learn more, is because we need our little dumb brains to be sat down and reminded, hey, you can't earn it today. I gave it to you. Grace, 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 grace. Then, right, can we go to the next slide real quick? So you can't earn it. Then we need to be confronted with the Word of God, see all the imperfect people in there, and realize if God had grace for them, he had grace for me, so I need to give grace to myself, and then I need to give grace to others. Amen. Every single day. And there are people in your life where you are going to have to pray before you talk to them. God, if you don't do a literal miracle right now, I'm going to jail. So, in closing, receive God's grace. Extend grace to yourself. Then you can be empowered to extend grace to others. So if you blow up on somebody, if you have a bad attitude, right? It's not just, this is the issue. You're not on the staircase of grace. The issue is not to just figure it out with them. It's to go to the Father, get grace for yourself, love on yourself, and then love them. So, where are you today? And I invite you, just really practically, to think about, where are you on the staircase of grace? You know, and it's so funny. Sometimes, I wasn't going to share this, but sometimes I'll do a devotion in the morning, and like the birds are singing, the sun is out, like I'm like revelation from heaven, you know? And then Ashley will say something, and I'll snap at her. I'm like, what is wrong with me? You know? Has anyone ever done that? Anyway, no. It's just like, I'm like, God is so good. All I need is Jesus. Like, I'm perfect in him. We can take over the world. And it's like, hey, what are you doing? Anyway, get back on the staircase of grace. But with that, let us pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your grace, first and foremost, Jesus, that you poured out on us on Calgary 2,000 years ago, Lord, where you died on the cross, where you took the sins that we had accrued. You lived the life that we had lived, Lord, and I thank you that you gave us your life and you paid the ransom for our life. And Jesus, I just thank you so much for what you did. And Lord, if there's anyone in here that has actually never received your grace for the first time, that the salvific grace, the grace for salvation, Lord, I pray that you would just stir on their hearts, Lord, that they would know that today is the day where they can be saved. Today is the day that they can receive not just forgiveness, but full-blown salvation.